On radio, online and mobile. You're with SBS Radio. Now it's news and current affairs with SBS Dinka.
We're ping na yu aratonga jeng SBS Dinka Radio.
Several of the people that we contacted while we were in Australia conducting our investigation were afraid to speak to us for fear of retribution against their families still in South Sudan. And however, that being said, we do know, obviously, that as was profiled in the press conference today and in the report that we've issued, that former Chief of Staff James Hockmai has a $1.2 million property in Melbourne. We've been there, again, with the salaries that are paid to the generals in South Sudan, it seems like a large amount of unexplained wealth. And we know that President Kiir did have a number of family members in, I think it was in Adelaide, for several years, but they're no longer there. However, our investigation did indicate that the house that they had lived in was later purchased by President Kiir as a gift for someone else. And if that's true, the house could be the proceeds of corruption, depending on how much the house cost when it was purchased and how it was paid for.
So you've got one name that you could name. What are you accusing him of exactly?
Well, what we found with the other political elites that we looked at is that they all had ownership interests in a number of companies within South Sudan. And for some of the elected political elites, it appears to be a violation of South Sudanese law to have a private ownership interest in businesses. And what we found with several of the generals in the SPLA is that they were receiving what appear to be bribes or kickbacks from companies who had been awarded contracts to operate in South Sudan, mostly in the construction field. We also found that several, including James Hockmai's family, have ownership interests in South Sudan where they could be, without a tender process, awarding contracts where they're personally benefiting. And if that's the case, I mean, is that embezzlement of state funds? Is it procurement fraud? So all of the officials in South Sudan were asked to give a disclosure of their assets. And to my knowledge, there was only one or two that were turned in. And even those, I don't know if they were vetted to determine if the people were honest in the assets that they claimed.
So what kind of investigations did you actually conduct in Australia? What did you look at?
Prior to coming to Australia, we had done a lot of investigation through social media and through sources on the ground in both Australia and South Sudan. And we had a list prior to our travels to Australia on properties that were associated with political elites that were now, or their families. General Paul Malong has an estranged wife, I believe, living in Adelaide. Children who claim on social media to be his offspring living in Adelaide. And so we were trying to determine through source information and just general investigation, how are they living? Were funds coming from South Sudan to support their lifestyles? If so, what was the source of those funds? We met with a large group of the South Sudanese people that are now living in Australia and asked them, do you know where certain political elites live? Do you know their children? Do you know what they do for jobs? And unfortunately, what we did find is that a great majority of them don't appear to be employed. And if that's the case, then our second question is, what is the source of the money that is supporting your lifestyle in Australia? And again, not a minimalist lifestyle, but an exorbitant lifestyle. Large homes, very nice cars, BMWs, Mercedes. And if is Australia, through their hospitality and welcoming in the displaced people of South Sudan, also becoming a location where they are offshoring their money and assets into either properties, bank accounts, vehicles, and educating their children in Australia.
This morning, the South Sudanese community, there are many members in Australia who are just outraged at even a suggestion of corruption. What do you say to them?
I would say, look at the facts. Don't make an emotional decision. Look at the facts. Because what we found is that members of President Kiir's family have an ownership interest in more than 20 companies. And we spoke to one of the sons of General Paul Malong and asked him about how he received his contracts. And he said right up front, oh, there's no tender process. My father, Paul Malong, and the president award us contracts. And if that's the case, well, then that is nepotism. That is procurement fraud. There is no honest tender process to be awarded contracts. And if all of the contracts are just awarded to the political elites and their family members, how is South Sudan supposed to lift up out of its current conflict? Further, so much money in South Sudan goes to fueling the current war crimes and atrocities that are happening in South Sudan. Money is being diverted from health services, from education, from medical supplies, all to go into the purchase of weapons.
As you mentioned, Australia has many top officials and families of officials living here. Do you have any evidence of how they're bringing money to Australia?
Well, actually, yes. In some of the interviews that we conducted while we were there, we were actually told that there are people in Australia who are willing to fly money in or use their own businesses to have money transferred into Australia as a nominee or a conduit to get monies in for political elites. We also believe that a sort of hawala system is being used where money can be dropped off at a business in South Sudan or in Nairobi and then merely picked up by family members in Australia. We looked at both sides. We looked at the IO and we looked at President Kiir's administration, and we found evidence of corruption in both.
President Kiir's family is connected to many of the companies that you've mentioned. Have you got any idea about how much money is involved in this?
Our investigations could only go up to a certain point, in that we do not have the ability to subpoena bank records in the United States to try to get a better understanding. But when we looked at General Paul Malong, we know that his salary, because it's published through the audit reports from the South Sudanese government, is the equivalent of $45,000 a year. And yet we were able to identify a $2 million property, two other properties that are in the $1 million range, as well as several properties in South Sudan. So for that one general, you're talking $3 to $5 million just in properties.
Have you been in contact with the Australian government with any of these allegations?
Yes, we have, because our goal is always to have it actionable. So prior to our trip, after our trip, we reached out to Australian law enforcement and shared our findings with the several different law enforcement agencies within Australia. We also reached out to the Australian ambassador to the United States and shared our findings with him as well. So our goal is we can conduct an investigation, but there's not a lot more we can do with the information. So we share it with law enforcement in any country in which assets are held or that could take some sort of action.
So what kind of response did you get from Australian authorities?
They were very positive, and realistically, they said, we would still have to conduct a logical investigation. What we're doing is passing on the evidence that we could get, of course, with court orders and other law enforcement tools. They will be able to take the information that we have and take it to the next level. And perhaps if they determine that the properties that we've identified are indeed the proceeds of corruption, embezzlement of state funds, procurement fraud, wire fraud, mail fraud, any type of embezzlement or theft of state funds, hopefully they have the laws on the books, which I believe they do, that would allow them to seize and forfeit those properties and eventually repatriate the money back to South Sudan to help the people of South Sudan.
Obviously, you'd like charges to be laid. Are you confident that there are going to be any consequences to your investigations?
Well, obviously, that's the goal. And I mean, our investigations aren't stopping here. We have ongoing investigations. It'll be very interesting to see what Sudan does next, because South Sudan does have an anti-corruption commission that has been basically told not to investigate corruption in their country. People are removed from office for corruption, only to months later be reinstated. So if South Sudan, better future, can you imagine the good that could have been done in South Sudan if $4 billion hasn't left the country? So what we would like to see is that people are held accountable for their actions. And whether that's in Australia, whether it's in South Sudan, wherever assets may be found, Kenya and Uganda, both border countries, so countries are in a unique position to help South Sudan.
Pienge kubajamea kuyinlum SBS Radio app. Pienge etichol walk nibian on demand bayachet neka tike dikiel walk. I am a member of the App Store and Google Play.